Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's awesome, yeah. All right, you ready?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Anthony Joshua and Alexander Usyk. Next week, we'll have a full breakdown here. Also, too, this is pretty interesting. A boxing judge who had a bad scorecard actually put out a statement. And it's pretty interesting, man. He went over why he scored it and how he got kind of, you know, I think he messed up, basically. And it was kind of refreshing to see that. But, yeah, we'll have more on that later. But first, we're going to get started with some of the only action of the weekend, man. Michael Montero versus John Ochoa. This was one we were looking forward to. Montero was on our podcast last weekend and said he was fighting this guy. And I think it's John Ochoa. If it's not John, it's something Ochoa. If it's not John Ochoa, I apologize. But listen, what's he going to do? You know, what's he going to do? He's going to come after me? Son, are you kidding me? I'm going to snap my fingers. I'm going to have Mike here protecting me because Mike smashed him, all right? That's the way it goes. Unanimous decision win for my man, Mike Montero. Listen, it was three rounds, two-minute rounds. I thought Montero looked pretty good. You know what I liked about him is that, and Beeb, you said it beforehand, you called it poise, that whenever he got hit, whenever he got, you know, whenever he went in and got a combination, got some good shots off, or got hit, you never saw him throw, like, crazy punches or try to, you know, drop his guard and just come forward and just start swinging wild. Nothing like that. You know, he maintained it. He kept boxing. He was very well, like, schooled in that aspect. You could see he was very well schooled there. In the first round, he controlled the fight. I thought he controlled the fight with his jab, you know, and I thought that he could have just jabbed that guy to death. And he basically kind of did for three rounds. I mean, just jabbed him. That jab, working off that jab for Mike was the key. Now what Mike has a tendency to do, what we saw, and I do the same thing, is I leave my left hand low, you know, and I'm more sided. I'm more of a, like a defensive, style. So I have one hand up, one hand low, and so, like I said, when he comes within arm's reach, I'm going to jab you. You know what I mean? And Mike had that same thing where he had his hand down low, and he got clipped with a right hand in that first round, and it was a big right hand. I mean, that was a solid, solid shot he ate. Put him against the ropes. Ochoa went for him, started working the body a little bit, but that was pretty much it. I think Mike recovered quick. I mean, it was a quick – I think it was just – I don't even think it hurt him. It was just like a quick boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, wow, I gotta be careful here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So put the jab on him again. In the second round, I thought Ochoa was starting to do a little bit better, but he got clipped with a combination. And of course, in the amateurs – you get a standing eight count. Anytime they think that you might be wobbly or you took too many shots, you know, and we were talking about that. I don't really care for that rule because what happens is you kill the momentum, you know. So he could have got, like, Montero could have got a legit stoppage there. He could have got a legit knockdown there. But instead, they gave the guy a standing eight to kind of get his faculties right and everything like that. So I get it. I mean, it is what it is. But, he had two standing eight counts in the second round. I believe he had another standing eight count in the third. But Montero won a unanimous decision. It was a good fight, and I couldn't be more happy for him because, again, man, he was doing this for his brother. He trained a lot for this fight. I know he trained a lot. You know, he got in really good shape. He was in really good shape. I know he gave up a lot for training. He was doing it with me, and he wanted to put his best foot forward when he got in there, and I thought he did, man. The guy he was fighting, I know, like, when, to me, he was skilled, but he wasn't, you could tell there was a difference. There was a difference in levels in there, man. You could tell he had been doing this, Montero had been doing this a while,
More lines.
Yeah, because when that guy got hit, you could see him. He looked like he got gassed right around the second, probably about the middle of the second round. You could tell he was gassed out, or he didn't have much left.
He was a little bit too wound up, that guy. You could tell he was too wound up.
He was very wound up. Yeah, he was very
too excited. Too excited, and Mike just was comfortable. He felt he felt like he belonged in there. Like just another day at the office for Mike.
Big difference. And that's the thing, man. And that guy, you know, and what I noticed too is when that guy Ochoa got hit, he had a tendency to come back wild. You know, like he would keep his stance and he would keep boxing and everything, but once he got rattled, he would come back wild. He'd flail around. Right.
Yeah, flail.
And that's what caused those counters. That's what caused the, you know, Mike would come right up the middle on that guy, and that was game over, man. So what were you, I know you saw the fights.
Yeah, you know, like I said, Mike tried to control the distance. Ochoa was trying to come forward. He was trying to make it a dogfight. Mike wanted to make it a boxing match. Now, occasionally, Mike would step in hard with the right hand, and he got Ochoa's attention, which forced the referee, or I should say caused the referee, to choose to do the standing eights, which I'm not a fan of either. I'm glad they took that out of pro boxing because it used to be in pro boxing too. Like I said, Mike was comfortable. He was relaxed, and he wasn't going to do anything stupid in there. He was setting up his shots, and he was able to maintain the space that he wanted. And when Ochoa did get close, Mike would grab him and kind of push him off or walk him back. And, you know, Mike was definitely in control of this fight. He was fighting this fight on his terms, and Ochoa wasn't able to make it that rough and tumble, ugly, mauling type fight that he wanted to. And credit to Mike, as we both mentioned earlier, for being relaxed, poised, and just not, you know, letting this thing get away from him. You know, he fought with a level head.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, people who aren't seasoned pros, when they get hit, like we mentioned, they get a tendency to want to flail away, right? Like, it just, that instinct kicks in, right? That adrenaline starts flowing, and you just want, you want to get your get back, and you'll do it at any way possible. But Mike said, you know what? I got 3 rounds to work with here. Take my time. I can hit this guy when I want to hit him. Just, I can go right down the middle with the straight shots because I know this guy's going wide all night. Straight line beats a looping type shot. So it's what it is.
That was it. I tell you, you know, like I said, when they start flailing like that, and you can tell the guy, you know, had some experience.
That's when they panic. That's
the
panic.
And that's the worst thing you can do, because when you start flailing, you leave yourself wide open, and he did. I mean, that's the thing, he did. But you saw him when he got in the ring, he was amped. And if I'm Montero, that's the best thing I see all night.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly how I want you. I want you amped up, because you cannot fight when you're amped up.
He was fighting on pure adrenaline.
Yeah, and adrenaline, and you know yourself, I mean, just even in when you do cardio, adrenaline, you can go in there mad, say you had a bad day or whatever. Listen, adrenaline only takes you so far. And once that adrenaline wears off, if you haven't trained, you can't breathe because you've dumped everything out. Now you can't. I don't care how much you've trained. Yeah, you're
tired. If you burn it up too fast, it's just like any other type of fuel. You run out of gas. Pure and simple.
Yeah.
So you want to fight on an even keel. So that adrenaline is being expended equally and evenly, not too quickly.
Yeah.
Right? You want to be able to control that.
And that's the thing. I mean, all the sparring that Montero did and does, I mean, he does sparring just to stay in shape and stuff like that. So all that sparring and stuff like that, that's what makes you relax, because you know what's coming. You know you're going to get hit in the face. You've been hit in the face before. So what's, you know.
And when you're conditioned, you have that confidence level about you. Like, you know what? I'm doing 6 minutes here. Now, obviously, this is under the lights. This is the real thing. I got that. But I'm doing 20 minutes in the gym, 30 minutes in the gym, 5-6 days a week. If I could do that, this 6 minutes is going to be a walk in the park for me.
Absolutely.
And that's how I think Mike approached it.
Yeah. And I think he did great, man. And like I said, man, he did this for his brother and everything like that. And I'm proud of him, man. He did well.
Yeah,
he's a friend
I'm
of the
very
show.
Happy.
Yeah, he
I'm
did great,
happy.
Man. He really did. Now, you said that you thought that the way he dropped his left hand, that he'd be wide open for your right hand, that you could starch him. So how do you – what?
The only thing I'm starching is my freaking shirts.
Oh, man. So you were talking all this before the show. You were talking – now you're going to backtrack? Oh, Beeb.
I do not want to meet Mike Montero in a dark alley, trust me. Mike is an imposing individual. He's a nice guy, but I would not want to cross him.
Wow. What about Ochoa? What about Ochoa? Would you cross him?
I'm crossing
Ochoa. I grab him by the hand and cross him across across the street. Listen, my fighting days are over, baby. I'm a diplomat.
You're a diplomat.
Let me go buy you a cup of coffee. We'll talk this over. That's what the bee does now. That's what the bee
Let
does.
Let me buy you a cup of coffee. We'll talk
see
over.
See how pretty this face is right now? It's going to stay that way.
There you go.
You don't have to answer that.
There you go.
That was
all
a
right.
rhetorical question.
And hey, listen, man, that was the most exciting fight of the weekend. That was about the only fight of the weekend. I know there was a PBC card. I think it was yesterday. Nothing really there. But tonight there's a PBC card. It's not even listed. I don't even see it listed. But Omar Juarez is going to be on that card. I think it's on 10 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. So guys, catch that. 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 1. Omar Juarez is going to be on there. DJ Zamora is going to be on there. Barrientos is going to be on there. Angel Barrientos. So it should be good. It should be good.
Friends of the show.
Friends of the show, baby.
Oh.
You know what they do? You know what I was talking to my guy, man. He says what we're going to do is the people that you interview, we're all going to put them on one card, and we're going to put it on Fox. And I said, that's perfect. I said, I think that's a great idea. So, you know, in essence, they're really promoting the Ringside Reporter tonight on Fox. So that's great. That's great news for us.
They should stop wearing Ringside Reporter patches on their trunks.
I wonder. I know, right? Well, I don't know how much they charge for. Ask Lois.
Check the advertising budget for us, please. See if we can get some patches out there to these fighters. Yeah. All right. She's on it. She's on it. Don't worry about it.
So you blew her up earlier, or how did that?
Easy. Come on. She's on the job here.
I'm just
Stop
saying.
Taking shots. She's grinding for us.
She's grinding. Yeah, I heard that, you know. I heard she's grinding for us, you know. Oh, boy. All right. And it looks like – oh, there he goes. He's frozen for a minute.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's take a look at the upcoming fights here. All right. And next week, not a whole lot. There's a big fight, obviously. We got the big fight next week. But as far as the actual schedule, not a whole lot going on. Robert texted me right in the middle of the show saying it. PBS is doing some kind of thing. I don't care. All right. So September 25th, Saturday in London, on DAZN, the big one, Anthony Joshua versus Alexander Usyk, 12 rounds for Joshua's IBF, WBA, and WBO heavyweight titles. Lawrence Okoli versus Dylan Kosovic, 12 rounds for Okoli's WBO title. Callum Smith versus Lennon Castillo, 12 rounds light heavyweights. That should be a walkover for Smith. Maxim Prodan versus Florian Marcoux, 10 rounds welterweights. Campbell Hatton on the undercard also against Izan Dura. Those are 4 rounds lightweights. I'm anxious to see Campbell Hatton fight again. Also, on September 25th, from Madrid, Spain. Now, there's no TV on this one, and I'm thankful there's not. Sergio Martinez. Yes, that's Sergio Martinez against Brian Rose, 10 rounds middleweights. Beeb, what do you make of this?
You know, my last vision of Sergio Martinez sprawling around on the canvas, trying to get up and just falling right back down because his knees were gone. Both knees were gone. That was a painful moment. And I thought that was the end. Now, I don't know, how many years later is it? Probably, what, 8 years later or something like that? What was that? When was that Cotto fight? That was about 7 or 8 years ago, right?
Why did he fight him with a knee like that? That doesn't make any sense, you know?
It was the payday. But what I was going to say is, 7 or 8 years later, I do not think those knees are in any better shape than they were then, right? So this is just an accident waiting to happen again, and I hate to say that about a legend like Sergio Martinez, but
you know,
I just can't see a happy ending for this story. Can't.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I really don't get
it. You think you can match a guy properly?
What are you?
But again,
I think that's the other thing. Like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you coming back? Yeah, there's no reason for you to come back.
It's hard to let go. It's really hard to let go for some of these guys. That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I really don't get it, but, you know, I guess it's not up to me. But, you know, and speaking of the fights, older guys coming back, I mean, you got Sergio Martinez coming back. But did you see Riddick Bowe is fighting in a celebrity match against Omar, what is it? Lamar Odom or Odom, what is his name? The basketball guy?
Oh, yeah, Lamar Odom, yeah.
Is that who it is? Isn't that the guy that, like, cracked out at a whorehouse or something like that? He was unconscious or something?
Yeah, he's had a lot of issues, yeah.
Well, listen, man, I don't know where he stands and everything like that, but I saw Riddick Bowe shadowboxing today. It was awful. I mean,
yeah.
Awful. I mean, you know, you saw Vander, this is 10 times worse.
Is that bad, huh?
Oh, it was bad. It was real bad.
That bad, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Corey Lee, Lamar Odom versus Riddick Bowe. It was awful. I can't even believe they're going to sanction this. Not even sanction it, because I imagine it's an exhibition, but why in the world this is going on, I have no clue. It's just awful, man. Like,
yeah, it's a travesty.
It really
it's
is.
It's a travesty.
Well, let's talk about it, man. Let's talk about this big fight coming up. Anthony Joshua, Alexander Usyk. Listen, man, this is a good one. This is an interesting fight. This is a real interesting fight, and it's interesting for a couple of reasons. In my opinion, Joshua is the, you know, obviously he's got the power advantage. He's a bigger guy. And Joshua's a pretty good boxer, but Usyk is definitely a superior boxer. I don't know that there's any question about that. He's definitely a superior boxer, but can he overcome that power? I don't know. You know, he did not, you know, he didn't look that great against Chisora. So, you know, we'll see, man. Joshua owns just about every physical advantage in this fight. You know, that's why he's favored. I believe he's like a 250 favorite, I'm thinking. Beeb, if you want to look those up, I think he's about a 250 favorite, though. He's going to be heavier. Joshua's going to be heavier. He's stronger. He's a little bit younger. Usyk is definitely the better boxer, but I don't think there's, you know, will it be effective?
You know, Usyk's a plus 210.
Yeah.
And Joshua's a minus 285. So it's pretty
close.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. You know, I don't know that his boxing is going to be effective if he can't put something on Joshua to hurt him or get his attention. You know, that's my big worry for Usyk. You know, how's Usyk going to react when he gets hit with a big shot? And Joshua's going to land a big shot somewhere in that fight. You know, and it doesn't have to be a knockout punch. It just has to be one of those punches that's going to get your attention. And once it gets his attention, is he pensive about coming in again? And that could be the advantage for Joshua, too. To me, he's just too big and too strong for Usyk. I don't think Joshua gets rid of him, because I think that Usyk is too good of a boxer. I don't think he's going to catch him in the sense that he puts him away or even puts him down. I think Usyk's a little bit too slick for that. But I do think Joshua wins a decision, because I could see the fight going where Joshua kind of chases him for 12 rounds. Doesn't really connect anything huge. He gets, you know, I think Usyk makes him miss a lot, but I just don't think that Usyk's going to have enough for him to keep him off. I hope, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But that's kind of the way I see it, man.
Well, no one loves an underdog more than me. And no one loves to just pick a value play and make a value play more than me. I just don't see the value here in picking Usyk.
Nah.
I would love to be able to pick him because of the plus 210. But I just don't see what everyone's seeing. Obviously, he's a very skilled fighter. But is he really as hard to hit as everyone says? Chisora was touching him, and not even that. Look at his last fight at cruiserweight against Tony Bellew. I had him losing, and two of the judges had him losing in that fight, and one judge had it even before he knocked out a way past his prime Tony Bellew. And I thought Tony Bellew fought a beautiful fight against Usyk until the time he got hit with that big left hand.
And he was losing the fight. I mean, I thought Usyk loved Tony Bellew.
That's what I'm saying. I thought Usyk was losing the fight.
See, I thought Bellew was losing the fight up until that point.
And that's fair, but yeah. Two judges had Usyk down, and one judge had it even, and he was down on my card too. Now, you could have it, you could have him up, I guess, but a lot of people had Bellew winning that fight, and up until that point, before he knocked Bellew out, I didn't think he looked spectacular in that fight either, because Bellew was applying pressure, he was getting inside a little bit, and he was closing the distance and taking the space away from Usyk. Right, and he was able to touch him more than expected. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Chisora, you know. So the thing about Usyk is he likes his space. He likes to circle you, and then he'll go in and out, and he'll go in and throw that flurry and come back out and circle. He's almost like that vulture just flying around, and then when he sees that piece of meat that he wants to eat, then he shoots in and grabs it.
Yeah.
That's how Usyk type fights, you know. He's sitting there scoping on the outside in the perimeter, circling you until he sees an opening, and then he darts in. But he never goes deep in the pocket. He goes mid-range.
Yeah.
He likes to fight mid-range. He'll go in there, mid-range, stop, blah, 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 then come out and reset. Mid-range is Anthony Joshua's wheelhouse. He's an incredibly good mid-range fighter with that mid-range left hook and that mid-range uppercut on the inside, like the mid-range area, right? Anthony Joshua is not a great inside fighter either. So he's not going to have to worry about having to deal with someone on the inside because Usyk's not going to go deep inside on him. He's, like I said, mid-range guy, you know. But Joshua also is pretty good from the outside. But his wheelhouse where he generates those power shots is in that mid-range area. So Usyk's going to have to stop, and he's going to have to try to fire off a flurry. And if he's landed three shots that aren't causing damage to Joshua, and Joshua's landing one to his three, I'm not so sure he can deal with Joshua's one shot. Because Joshua is a very heavy-handed guy,
yeah.
Right? And if Usyk is just going to flurry on him, he's going to move around on him, and Joshua is a pretty decent counterpuncher as well too, right? And I don't think, like I said, Usyk is as hard to hit as people make it out to be, because if Chisora can touch him, I sure as hell think Anthony Joshua will touch him. So this may be interesting for a couple rounds, but I just see Joshua planting his flag, you know, in the canvas and just saying, hey, we're gonna have a firefight. If you come in on me, you're not gonna go in the pocket and try to pop in and out on me. You come in, y'all leaving with something. You're not going to be able to go in and out and not catch something in return, right? And I don't believe that Usyk's going to be able to deal with Anthony Joshua's left hook and left uppercut and even that big right hand over the top in that mid-range area, because Chisora was hurting him. Chisora was rattling him and pushing him back. You know, he was taking the wind out of his sails in the first half of that fight. You know, that fight was razor close. And I know this is a different style matchup for him. Anthony Joshua doesn't fight like Chisora. He's not a guy that's going to try to get on the inside and grind it out and make it an ugly fight up close. But offensively, I think Joshua is an outstanding boxer. He's got a great jab.
Yeah.
When he wants to use it, sometimes he brings the hand down a little bit too low when he recoils it, but it's a good, accurate jab, and he really knows how to set up his shot, right? And he puts his shots together. He's a very fluid combination puncher, right? And he's always on balance, doesn't really lunge in with anything. Problem is he doesn't move his head that well, and sometimes he brings those hands back slower than he should, particularly that left jab. He gets lazy with it sometimes, right? But like I said, you know, I don't think he's going to have to deal with the grinding, mauling-type style on the inside that he had to deal with Andy Ruiz. And even Joseph Parker was doing pretty well on the inside against him, and the ref wouldn't let him fight. And You know, we saw the Takam fight was kind of a sloppy, ugly fight. I don't think this fight's going to be that way. I think this style actually fits Joshua pretty well. I think this is a favorable style matchup for Joshua. And I'm thinking Joshua is going to get into an exchange. They're going to get into an exchange in the pocket, in the mid-range area of that pocket. And I just see Joshua landing a big left hook or a big left uppercut on the inside and the fight turning right then and there. And I see him stopping Usyk in about seven. I think he's going to stop him in seven rounds.
You think he stops Usyk?
Yeah, I don't think this is a difficult fight. I just don't see Usyk presenting that much of a challenge. I just don't see what other people see in Usyk. Obviously, I'm not taking anything away from him. I just don't see anything he can bring to the table that's going to really trouble Joshua to an extent where Joshua's not going to be able to maintain control of this fight. I don't see Usyk being able to take over this fight and control this fight. I just don't see it. AJ's going to stop him.
Yeah, I got to tell you what, I think AJ wins the decision. I don't know that he stops him, but I think AJ does win the decision. I think that, again, man, it's tough to find a way that Usyk wins this fight. You know, somebody in the chat had said, well, you're forgetting about AJ's glass chin. Listen, guys, it's heavyweight. Anybody over 200 pounds can hurt you. You know, I mean, and who did he get knocked down by? Klitschko, who's a power guy. Andy Ruiz, who's a big guy, you know.
I mean, the guy's been stopped one time in his career.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, come on.
Chandler M says, where's the fight taking place? The fight's taking place at Tottenham Stadium in England. Yeah, is there any way – let's go this route with it. So what way can Usyk win this fight? Because here's my thought is – Joshua does have a tendency to slow down in the later rounds. Usyk is in shape. Usyk will go from bell to bell for 12 rounds. He's not going to slow down. He's acclimated to the weight. You know, he's up where he's at, you know, so he's got a heavyweight. He just, I don't know that he has a heavyweight punch. You know what I mean? But is it conceivable that he could outbox Joshua, given Joshua's reach and everything like that? Is that a possibility?
Well, here's the thing. If Joshua is the guy who's landing the harder shots, right, and if Usyk is going to be on the back foot for a great portion of this fight and Joshua steps to him, I think the judges will favor Joshua because he's the house fighter, number one. Everything Joshua does, the crowd's going to react to, and they're going to cheer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Corey said too, yeah.
So it's going to look like Joshua is pushing Usyk back. Usyk is going back on his own volition,
right,
trying to circle and try to, you know, find an angle where he can attack from. And it could be perceived as, by the judges as him retreating or being forced back. And more often than not, when we see these types of style matchups, when you see a guy move a lot, taking a step back, circling, the judges tend to favor the guy coming forward, throwing a heavier shot. The guy who looks like he's forcing the fight will get the benefit of the doubt in a close round. So because of that, I think it's going to be hard for him to even win a decision in this fight. And you made a point and you said that Joshua fades. I think Joshua fades in the mid round, and then he kind of gets the second win in those championship rounds. He tends to, you know, He faded a little bit in that Klitschko fight, but he got a second win in like the ninth and tenth round. You know, he does have that little lapse, but he's been fighting more poised and he's fighting now at a more balanced pace. Before, where he would be too aggressive too early, now he's kind of working his way and feeling his way through the fight. And he's fighting more poised and patient now. So I think he's starting to conquer that stamina issue that he had earlier in his career through experience. You know, so I think his experience level and he himself has developed more as a fighter. So I think he knows how to control that adrenaline and not blow his wad like he used to earlier in his career. So I think he's corrected that.
I think that Klitschko fight taught him a lot. I think he learned more
in
that fight
than
he's learned in any other fight, you know. Joshua is 6'6". Usyk is 6'3", so he's not a little guy either. 82-inch reach for Joshua, 78-inch reach for Usyk. Now, the one, the 600-pound elephant in the room, Usyk's a southpaw. We haven't seen Joshua against very last one we saw him against was Charles Martin, all right? And we know how that went, but Charles Martin is Charles Martin. He's not exactly Usyk. I don't think you can really gauge anything from that. But does southpaw give Joshua any problems?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think he gives him any problems?
Joshua's got a good right hand, too.
Yeah, he really does. He really does. Yeah, like I said, man, I have trouble picking Usyk in this fight. I'd like to see Usyk win because I think he's a good – I think he's a solid boxer. Would you favor – let me ask you this. Would you favor Usyk over Wilder?
No.
I wouldn't either. Yeah, I would have to go over Wilder. Any big heavyweight, until he shows me otherwise, you know what I mean? Any big heavyweight, I got to see. I got to see it. I got
to
say.
I pick Dillian White to beat him, too.
Dillian White to beat him? Yeah, maybe.
It would be an incredibly interesting fight, but I'd pick him to win.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's...
I pick him to win.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, as much as he accomplished at that... So you don't think he can be like an Evander Holyfield guy, like just a smaller heavyweight? Wow.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Please.
Difference between... See... When you're small like that, you have to have an inside game. Holyfield had a great inside game.
Yeah.
He had a beautiful short left hook on the inside.
Yeah.
Tyson, all the short heavyweights, what do they have in common? They all had great inside games.
You have to, right? Look at Tyson. I mean, you have to have a good inside game.
You have to have a good inside game. When you have some of these smaller guys – who aren't the greatest inside fighters. Like, look at Johnny Ruiz. I love Johnny Ruiz to death. He's a Massachusetts native. But he was a shorter. He's about 6'2", right? Maybe 225, 230-ish, right? But what did he do every time he got inside? He would grab. He couldn't punch very well. Like, he didn't have a fluid inside game. He would punch. He would jab from the outside, and then he would, like, he was falling and grabbing. So he would jab and grab, right? And that's why he struggled, you know? That's why he struggled in his career at heavyweight. Now, he was able to beat an aging Evander Holyfield and win that WBA title. But when you saw, you know, him fight James Toney, when you saw him fight, you know, Roy Jones and people that could move and stuff, and that were good defensive fighters, he didn't do well. Like, so that's the thing. When you have a small heavyweight, like Chris Berg was another guy.
Yeah.
You know, he was a small guy, but he wasn't a real big strong guy on the inside. So he was, you know, he was very limited because of that. So if you're going to be short like that and small and not the tallest, longest guy in the world, you have to have a good inside game. And that's why I think Usyk's going to have problems at heavyweight, because he's not tiny, but he's not big either.
Yeah.
You know, he's not really a big framed guy. I don't see Usyk getting above I don't think he's going to get above 220-ish. I think 220 is going to be his cap. So you got a guy 6'3", 220. I mean, that's Muhammad Ali, right?
Yeah.
That's the Muhammad Ali size, right? But he's not Muhammad Ali.
No.
He just isn't. And Muhammad Ali didn't have to fight guys who were 6'6", 6'7", and 6'9". He was fighting guys, you know, either 6 feet, 5'11"-ish. George Foreman was like probably 6'4". That was the biggest guy that he fought. George Foreman in his prime was 6'4", about 230-ish.
What
right?
was Riddick Bowe? I thought Riddick Bowe was bigger than George, but I could be wrong there.
Riddick Bowe was 6'5", in his prime about 230, 235-ish, 240, right? But, yeah, you know, so this is a different era when you have these big guys who can box. Like Tyson Fury can box, right?
Yeah.
Joshua can box, right? So all these big guys, Dillian White's, kind of, you know, 6'4", He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's thick, he's strong. Derek Chisora, another shorter guy. These guys are big, strong, burly guys who could muscle you on the inside and fight well. Usyk doesn't have that type of style. You're not going to be able to out finesse these big guys for 12 rounds. It's not going to happen. Can't do it. Well, it's just not sustainable throughout the course of a 12 round fight, in my opinion.
Right.
That's what I think the problem is going to be with Usyk.
Dwayne asks, if Usyk loses, would it be fair to call him a hype job? 100% no. 100% no. He's a unified cruiserweight champion. How is he? There's no way. He's fought a lot of good guys, man. No way.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, right, at this particular time, I feel as though he's being overrated at heavyweight. Like, you can't sit there and just assume because he was a great cruiserweight, he's going to be a great heavyweight. That's just my opinion. I just don't see it. Now, if he shocks the world next week, then I'm going to have to come back here on Sunday and eat my words, and I'll be prepared to do that. But I feel pretty confident that I'm not going to have to do that.
Dwayne says at heavyweight, yeah, I think at heavyweight he hasn't really been. I mean,
I'm not going to say he was a hype job. I mean, probably maybe slightly overrated at heavyweight.
Well, and I mean, really, I mean, everybody, to me, I mean, AJ is a favorite. Everybody's taking AJ. So he's not really a hype job per se, you know, so.
Well, there's a lot of people picking Usyk for the upset in this fight, believe it or not. There's a strong backing for Usyk in this fight,
yeah,
what I'm hearing. You know?
Crazy. All right, before we go to the phones, Beeb, it's our favorite time here. Let's talk about Manscaped. Exciting news across from our friends at Manscaped. They just launched their fourth generation performance package. The ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. The leaders in male grooming have done it once again to make your grooming game, take your grooming game to the next level. Ah, look at that. Beeb knows what's up. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new performance package by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. Use the code RINGSIDEREPORTER, one word. The performance package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh man, was it worth the wait. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the crop preserver deodorant, and the crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. Now, Beeb, you have the nose trimmer right there. How does that work? Does it work pretty well?
Looks like a charm, baby.
I tell you what, man, everything that I've gotten from them, from the deodorants, from everything that we, the boxers, deodorant, everything, it has all been really good stuff. It's stuff we use. I mean, it's stuff we're actually using, you know, which is great. I mean, because it's a really good product, man. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology, the Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock and gives you the ability to turn on a 4,000K LED spotlight on and off, and when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof as well, so take it in the shower with you and everything. You thought that was good, but you want to take your grooming game even further to the next level. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker, which Beeb is demonstrating for us, to chop the weeds in your nose and ears. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof, 9,000 RPM motor, powered by a 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, tugs to those delicate areas. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver deodorant before leaving the house, and the Crop Reviver for your mid-game check. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts in the performance package, the Manscaped boxers, which are great, and the Shed travel bag, which is also really good, to bring your comfort and boxers to the next level. Get 20% off free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. There you go. So, guys, go get you some. Steve, you like that trimmer, yeah?
Beautiful trimmer, man.
It's great, right?
Very convenient.
All this stuff has been good, man. All right, let's go to the phones here. I see ringside Robbie on the phone.
Hello,
Robert,
guys. How are
go
you?
Ahead. Hey, what's happening, man?
I don't know much. It's been a good Sunday. I agree with both of you guys on this fight. I'm looking forward to watching it, but I think Joshua is going to win. I understand why Usyk's at heavyweight, but I don't see him being much of a success at heavyweight, and that's kind of too bad because at cruiserweight, you know, he was an outstanding fighter, but with today's heavyweights, I don't see him ever claiming any kind of a title. I think he's going to be competitive any fight he's in, but I think the size with most heavyweights is going to make a big difference with him, and I think he's going to have difficulty competing successfully at heavyweight because of his size difference and the fact that most heavyweights these days are bigger than he is.
There you go. There you go. So how is AJ going to win this fight?
I think he's going to eventually stop him, I would say within 9 rounds.
Wow.
I think Usyk is going to be good enough to box, so I think he's going to move around the ring a lot. And a lot of people watching this fight, you watch afterwards, they're going to accuse him of running around, you know, because they're going to say he doesn't want to engage. I can already see that already. But I think in the later rounds, Joshua catches up with him and turns out the lights.
Wow. So you're picking a 9th round TKO. B, what did you take? How did you see
this
fight going?
I'm picking a 7th round.
Yeah.
I said 7.
Yeah.
Robbie's always going to try and outdo me, so that's just the way.
No. Joe, there's one category I can never outdo you in. You're the best person I know in boxing who knows how to break down a
fight.
When it
comes to picking up chicks?
When it comes to picking up chicks.
No.
That's Robbie's category, man. I heard he's got women coming out of the woodwork up there in Cali.
When it comes to my performance?
No, I'm talking you're breaking down a fight.
I thought you said we were breaking down something else, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it, Beeb. It's a family show. What's the matter with you?
Now, you guys, you didn't mention this in the opening, but what do you think about Porter Crawford being signed for November? We all three of us.
Why would we mention that? Okay. Let me. I'm going to stop you here.
Okay.
Why would we mention that in the opening?
When
do we do news?
Robert, let me just say something, Robert.
Okay.
First of all, Robert, if you want to be the producer of this show, contact Human Resources Department at Beeb Industries. Lois will give you an application, and you can fill it out. Until then, you can don't try to direct traffic here on the way we conduct this show.
I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to do that. Calm down.
I know you want to be the producer. I know you want to be the producer, but just fill out an application. We'll schedule an interview.
Calm down.
You don't have to wear a suit. You can do a virtual interview online on your phone. In your pajamas if you want.
Calm down.
Just trying to make sure you follow protocol here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Crawford fight in a minute here. But what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I never thought it would happen. I agreed with you guys. I thought PBC would point him in a different direction. I'm really shocked that he actually signed a contract. I honestly thought that this fight would never occur.
He's wrong.
You're surprised at who signed the contract? Crawford?
Porter.
I gotcha.
I thought Al Haymon would point him in the Usyk direction for a rematch. So I'm actually shocked that, Al Haymon and PBC are okay with this. Now, the only possibility I can see here, if it turns out to be a good fight, regardless of who wins, maybe this is their way to advertise themselves to Terrence Crawford and say, hey, look, see, we can give you better fights because this is his last fight on his top rank deal. You know, so maybe that's the ploy here, is to get him under the PBC banner eventually. But otherwise, I'm shocked that this fight actually got signed.
Let me tell you what, if that's the last fight for Crawford on the top rank banner on his contract, I'm still out of there. Because top rank has done squat
absolutely
for that guy.
Yeah.
And
you know
everybody else is on the other side of the street.
You know where I'm going if I'm Crawford? I'm going to Eddie Hearn. I'm going to Nashville.
Really?
You're going to DAZN. Okay. I like that too. Because Eddie
Who's
Hearn
got
is
over
already
there for him to fight.
Well, he can fight Virgil Ortiz.
I think he'd fight Virgil Ortiz.
Yep.
I think he could still fight Boots Ennis because Boots Ennis is free. And I think if anyone can do cross promotions, I think if anyone can work with the other side of the street, I think it could be Eddie Hearn.
Well, Eddie Hearn's already proven that with the Canelo deal, guys.
And you know, just because you're over at PBC, it doesn't mean those fights are going to get made. Like Plant and Benavidez never fought.
They're not going to fight now.
Benavidez and Charlo never fought.
Right.
Right? You know, so Spence and Thurman never fought.
Nope.
Right? So just because you're over there doesn't mean these guys are still going to fight each other. There's still issues with these guys fighting each other, even when they are on the same side of the street. So we'll see.
All right, Robbie, let me get running here. I'm going to keep you on hold, though, okay?
Okay, thanks, Eric.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
And fill out the application, please. I always want to come on and try to be the producer.
917, New York, you're live.
Everybody's Emil, MC, how's it going?
Maestro, how you doing?
What's up, Maestro? Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm not bad. You know, I was listening early. I caught it a little bit late. It sounds like I missed a fight this weekend. I'm not sure which one. I saw the FS1 card. Well, what fight were you guys talking about at the beginning of the show?
Mike Montero. Mike Montero had an amateur fight this weekend. That's the one we were talking about.
Okay. All right. I guess I'll have to catch up on that one later. So no disrespect to Mike, but I thought I missed, you know, you know what I mean. Anyhow.
I get you.
You know, Usyk Joshua, man, it's an intriguing matchup. You know, I don't quite know what to think of it just yet, but I will say this. I'm not going to be surprised at all if Joshua loses this fight to Usyk. And I'll tell you why. All of those physical advantages that you mentioned, Eric, he held those advantages over Andy Ruiz Jr. In fact, Andy Ruiz Jr. is smaller than Usyk. The difference is his body composition. He's carrying a lot of excess body fat. And look at what happened to him in the first fight. I'm talking about Joshua versus Usyk, live from Madison Square Garden right here in New York City. He got his ass whooped. He got caught once. He got his brain scrambled. He didn't recover. And he literally got beaten from pillar to post in that first fight. Fast forward to the second fight, and, you know, cue to Barry White. You know, he was never going to let him up, you know, Andy Ruiz, in terms of the Huggy Bear tactics. You know, on the inside, it was Huggy Bear. I know Joe's mentioning the fact that Usyk doesn't have a great inside game. Joshua has a terrible inside game. I mean, anytime Joshua gets in close with a guy, he resorts to holding and clinching tactics. Now, to me, the question is going to be really if he's allowed to get away with holding and clinching, much in the way Klitschko was for most of his career, especially fighting in Germany. You know, if Joshua's allowed to use the jab, stay on the outside, and when he gets on the inside, clinch and hold and use his height and weight advantage, Usyk is going to have a very difficult time. But if the referee allows work on the inside and Usyk can do what he's good at, which is using footwork, Joe mentioned circling. I agree with that. If he can circle his opponent, throw quick jabs, quick left hands, get out of the way, and not get held in the middle of the ring or up against the ropes, wherever Joshua decides to do Huggy Bear. You know, he might actually be successful. You know, I'm not saying he's going to knock out Joshua, but Joshua's already proven that a smaller man who can time him is a difficult proposition. And what I don't like when I see Joshua is generally his lack of confidence in himself, not just in his chin, but in terms of in his cardio. You know, I think the reason he didn't finish Pulev as quickly as I think he could have is because he doesn't trust his aerobic capacity. He doesn't trust his cardiorespiratory endurance. He gasses quick, and a tired man is not a very effective fighter. So what I will say about this, too, in terms of confidence, lastly, because I know I'm going on for a bit here, is that all of this talk about slimming down, about, you know, Joshua's not good when he's bulked up, when he's, like, looking like a body, you know, bodybuilder or whatnot, a lot of that to me is code for we don't trust his aerobic capacity in big fights. We don't trust his ability to process oxygen and get it to all of these muscles over a 12-round fight. And I actually see that playing out in his performances. So I'd like both of your thoughts on that.
He, you know, I tell you what, Joshua is a big guy. He looks like a bodybuilder. He really does. And I think that's honestly Holyfield was another one who had that bodybuilder, you know, but he ran out of gas. You could see him. He always slowed down toward the end of the fight. B, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, do you think that that would play a part? Do you think, I mean, because I mentioned he's going to slow down. I just don't know that Usyk's going to be able to take full advantage of that.
I think just like Klitschko did later in his career, I think he's found a way to pace himself and slow the fight down and not be so aggressive early on. So I think he just spreads out the activity, and I don't think he empties out the clip too early in fights now. So I just think that he fights at a more moderate pace instead of a fast pace like he did early in his career. So I just think that just came with experience. So I think it all comes to pacing himself, and I think he's, with experience, like I said, I think he's learning to do that. I think he's kind of fighting at a more even keel now. You know, I think mentally he realizes that this is a 12-round fight. I have 12 rounds to work with, so let's just spread out my work rate evenly throughout the course of these 12 rounds instead of trying to just go all in or go all out early on. So I think he's approached the fights differently now, and I think Maestro alluded to that in the Pulev fight, how he just fought that in a methodical way, right? So, you could always question that stamina because we've seen it surface a few times. But lately, like you said, since that Klitschko fight, he's fought differently. And I don't want to take anything away from Andrew Ruiz. He beat Joshua fair and square. But I do want to say that could have been an off night, but whether or not that's a good excuse or not, he could have had something wrong with him going into the fight. Who knows? I think he's learned from that performance as well. I think he's learned from that performance as well. He's never going to be a perfect fighter. I don't think he's ever going to be a defensive specialist. But one thing I do think he is an offensive specialist. Not a great inside fighter. I agree 110%. But if you're not a great inside fighter, another guy who's not a great inside fighter isn't going to beat you if you don't have to worry about him on the inside. I think where Joshua gets into problems is when he's going to be dealing with a guy on the inside. And that's why I think he's going to have tons of problems with Fury, because Fury, with all his size, is a very effective fighter on the inside. You know, he knows how to maul and be grimy and gritty on the inside. Joshua just looks very uncomfortable on the inside, and so does Usyk, right? So if this is going to be a battle of the mid-range, I'm going to go with the guy who's got the bigger guns, which is Joshua. And I don't think Joshua has the slowest hands in the world either, right? Now, Usyk's pretty quick on his feet, but he's going to have to set his feet in that mid-range area of the pocket to fire. And when he does do that, he's going to run the risk of being fired upon back. And what's going to happen when he's fired upon back? can he take those shots? So I'm curious to see what's going to happen in these exchanges.
You know, the crazy thing is,
I'm curious to see that too.
You know, for me anyway, the crazy thing is we all seem to be picking AJ here, but this is a good fight. This isn't like a walkover fight. This is a great fight.
Listen, I want to be able to pick Usyk in this fight.
I do too.
I went, the Costa Cal fight, I hate to go off topic here, but I'm going to tie it all in. The Costa Cal fight, I got a message via Facebook from a very close friend of mine from Japan, Ryan Hong, and he told me, Babe, take a look at this fight. I think Costa Cal is very, very live there. Initially, when that fight was first announced, right, I said, no way. But then I went and I kind of looked at him really close under a microscope, right? And then I saw something. I did the same thing with Usyk, and I can't find it.
I thought he won the fight.
I can't find something that... Yeah, I thought you could make an argument.
I thought
Constantine
won the fight.
Yeah. I think you could definitely make that argument. Sure.
Here's my thing,
yeah.
Guys. So go ahead, Joe.
I'm just going to finish with this. Like I said, I did the same thing in this Usyk fight because you know me, I'm always looking for value. I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything to make. Like I saw some things that I said, wow, Constantine can win this fight against Valdez. I think he may win this fight against Valdez. I'm picking Constantine Cal.
I was surprised
with
that pick. Yeah, I was surprised you picked him. Yeah,
I picked him. I saw something. I did. I used the same, type of philosophy here, and I just couldn't. I couldn't find anything for Usyk. I just don't see. Now, if Usyk can fight on the inside,
I'm going to give you some material to work with. I'm going to give you some material.
I'm ready to get anything. Go ahead.
You're gonna get a little bit right now. So look, Joshua's Achilles heel to me is his cardio. I've said that before. If they were confident in his ability to beat a regular Anthony Joshua, they wouldn't be doing the slim down Jenny Craig diet, you know, to try to get him down to a lighter weight. They're doing that for a reason. They're doing it because they want him to keep up a faster pace. In this fight, and they don't want him to gas out. Now, here's the thing, and I'm borrowing that from Joe because I know Joe loves to say that. Look at the Tony Bellew fight. Look at Usyk's tactics in the fight. He tries to tire his opponents down or tire them out throughout the duration of at least the first half of the fight and get them exhausted. That's his style. That's what Tony Bellew said that Usyk did to him. You know, and if you look at the Derek Chisora fight, Derek Chisora was starting to huff and puff and was getting real tired in that fight as well. He sets a pace that guys struggle to keep up with. And I think that that's the reason that they're trying to get Anthony Joshua's weight down. Obviously not because he's not physically fit. He's obviously an elite athlete. He's tremendously fit. But I don't think they have confidence that, the Anthony Joshua that's close to 250 is going to be able to keep up with that pace. I think he's going to struggle to keep up with the pace. The question for me, and again, I'm not saying he's the greatest inside fighter, but with that short range and his in and out style, you know, I see him trying to land short shots in that mid range, kind of within Joshua's, extended longer range, quick shots and get out and move, and kind of tire Joshua out. My prediction on this fight, and I haven't even looked at who's the referee yet, because if they get a Kenny Bayless type that will dictate the fight as he did in Fury versus Wilder 2 and essentially not allow Tyson Fury to fight on the inside and inject himself like that, because that fight would have been way worse for Wilder if Fury was able to get busy on the inside like he wanted to, but he wasn't allowed. If they get a referee that allows Joshua to essentially do what Ricky Hatton was allowed to do at the MEN Arena against Kostyazoo, which is engage in hugging and clinching and, you know, not real infighting, Joshua's going to win the fight because he's going to jab, jab, hold, jab, jab, hold, right hand, jab, right hand, hold, all night long. But if Usyk gets a fair referee, I think that he could potentially take Joshua into deep water and tire him out because that's Joshua's Achilles heel. It's his cardio. So I'll just leave it at that, guys. And I'll give my prediction tomorrow night. Mano a Mano Live, 8 p.m. Eastern with Kenny T. Thank you so much.
There you go. Thank you so much, Maestro. We appreciate it, man. Also, too, thank you, Andre Rodriguez. Thank you so much. He said AJ will stay in the center with a posture jabbing for the distance and a right uppercut when close. Usyk moving, jabbing to the body and overhand on the top. Dale from Chi-Town, thank you so much. He says, I am Phil, still picking AJ. There you go. And congratulations on those Bears win today. That was a good one. But, you know, the referees, I tell you what, Dale, the referees in Chicago was home cooking, man. We should have won that. Should have won it. Bengals had that, like I said, the referees, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I think Josh was a very underrated counterpuncher. And I think he's going to, I think he's going to time Usyk coming in. And Usyk may try to get in and out quick, but if he's getting hit when he's trying to move his way to the outside, it's gonna slow him down. You know what I mean? So if Josh is able to clip him in an exchange when he's trying to come in to throw a flurry, just like Chisora was able to do, right? He was able to punch with him, right?
Right.
So how much of that movement is gonna be still there once he starts taking a couple hard shots? That's my question. And Joshua can also punch to the body very well too. I love Joshua offensively. My problem with Joshua is, you know, I have questions about his stamina. I have questions about his durability. And my biggest question is his defense. He's just very defensively not the greatest fighter in the world. He's got holes. He doesn't move his head very well. Sometimes he gets stiff. Sometimes he gets lazy with the jab, brings it back too slow down by his waist. But offensively, I just love his game. You know, I just love his game. I love it when he's just flowing. He's generally a great finisher as well, too. He's a very good finisher when you get the guy hurt.
He's a good fighter. I mean, no question about it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones here. 706, area code 706. Jason, you're live.
Hi, Sunshine. How you doing?
And then again, maybe you're not.
I mean, he's been crying and whining. Texting me every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Now you go to him and he doesn't.
He's whining. He can't. Is that the drive-thru? 805, you're live.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Nacho.
That's how you do it, Nacho. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. See, Nacho just came right on. He knew what was
up. Right on. There you go.
First caller of the year.
You didn't take any Quaaludes tonight. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Weed's legal out in California, so, you know.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the fight this weekend for sure. I think you guys have all brought up good points. The only thing is, from what I've seen, I mean, I don't know how it's necessarily going to play out in the fight, but I've seen pictures of Joshua has posted himself on social media. He almost looks like he's gone out of his way to kind of lean out and shed some of the extra muscle from his body for this fight. So he doesn't look like he's going to go in there probably in the, you know, 240-something, 250-something range as he normally does. He looks like he might come in even lighter because I think he anticipates that Usyk is going to just try to basically, you know, move around all night and try to outbox him. And I think he wants to be prepared to have the stamina to go after him if and when he does, you know, get to him. I think he will, but I think Usyk is definitely going to make it tough as far as he's not going to give him a standstill target and he's going to move and, you know, stick and move and just try to frustrate Joshua. But I think eventually, I think the same thing happens kind of like in the Pulev fight. I think Joshua measures him eventually and then gets him out of there towards the end of the fight. So I'd say probably he gets him out in like 11. Also, you guys were, I mean, Robbie brought it up and you guys said you were going to touch on it. I'm with Robbie. I'm very surprised they allowed Porter to take this fight, especially considering that everything that had been mentioned lately was, oh, Ugas is kind of like the next option for Porter, and they're not going to let him take the Crawford fight. I just found it kind of comical, though, that they literally reported the number they were giving Crawford for this fight as far as his purse, and it was $6 million. I was like, there was no way the PBC was ever going to shell out that kind of money for Crawford to fight Porter. So I'm glad that at least Top Rank finally emptied out its coffers to try to get a big fight done for Crawford if it's his last fight on the Top Rank side. I hope it is, because like you guys were saying, there's really not anything left for him to do there. So I think he has to try to go where the options are available. Now the question is, do those guys themselves available, or will they go out of their way to basically freeze them out again, even though he's quote-unquote on the right side of the street? That's my only concern, is that they're going to try to find ways to not have to fight him either, even though he's on that side of the street as well. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I have one other, like, a question for both of you guys. I'm sure you guys have seen that the Teofimo Cambosos pay-per-view, dollars. Isn't that a really horrible move by Triller to do that? Because I think if they had kept it at $20, I think you could have really maximized.
Yeah, we're definitely – that's something we're going to touch on, too. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that, too, as well. Man. Good deal. All right, Nacho, we're going to get rolling here. We're going to go to the news. Go ahead.
All right, guys.
All right, Nacho. Andre Rodriguez, thank you so much again. He said, to win the fight, AJ needs to control the center and counter. For Usyk, he needs to bring AJ out of the center, lean down, move, go to the body, head, and out. Yeah, good advice. Good advice. There you go. All right, let's go to the news. Let's talk about the big things that you guys want to talk about here. All right, so Terrence Crawford and Sean Porter is set. The fight will take place on November 20th in Las Vegas and will be on ESPN+. Beam, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think the fight was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to get signed.
Me neither.
But Porter, to his credit, took the fight.
Yeah.
Because he could have walked away at any point. He took the fight. I believe he's getting $4 million for the fight. From what I read, $4 million, and Crawford's getting $6 million.
Right.
So, hey, 60-40, you can't beat that. You know, I tell you what, and this could be, as we heard, this could be Crawford's, and I don't know for a fact, but it could be his last fight on the Top Rank platform. If I am Crawford, I don't care. I'm out. I am completely done. After the stuff that Bob Arum said about him and everything like that, dude, he's gone. I mean, if you got any self-respect at all, you got to go, right?
Yeah. If he does not leave after all that's been said and done recently at this point,
right,
then I don't know what to say about the guy. And I love Terrence Crawford, but it'll be a head scratcher if he doesn't leave.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I'll tell you what though, this is going to be on ESPN pay-per-view, obviously.
Awesome.
You're going to watch it, right? I mean, this is a no-brainer to watch. I mean,
it's a no-brainer,
fight of the year. This is fight of the year stuff. Who wins this fight?
I think Crawford stops him.
You think Crawford stops him?
He reported his first knockout loss, yeah.
Wow.
And I love Sean Porter, too, and it pains me enough to say that, but I think he's going to get stopped in this fight.
Yeah, I think he does stop him. I really do. But, you know, listen, man, Porter, I thought that Spence was going to stop Porter, and Porter has a way, you know, and he's got a way of adjusting styles, adjusting.
Yeah.
This could be a close fight. This will be interesting. This will be, to me, this is going to be an interesting fight.
I hope you're right, Eric. I would nothing more love than to see this be a barn burner close fight. Because I like both guys a lot, man. I do like, I have a lot of respect for Sean Porter. I like Sean Porter a lot. I think he's a very dedicated, tough fighter. And You know, he's a skilled guy, and he makes the most of what he has. You know, he makes the most of what he has.
You know what I'm surprised about? That Fox didn't pick this up. I'm surprised.
Well, how much money do they have left? With all these pay-per-views they put on. And
they wasted a lot on silly pay-per-views. They really
did. Yeah, I mean, they blew this fight. This because they never anticipated this fight being, you know, down the road for them. They never thought this was a potential possibility. They never thought that the WBO was going to do something like they did.
You know,
and yeah. This is what happens.
And you got to wonder, too, like, you know.
They're probably kicking themselves right now.
Is there anybody at Fox? I mean, and I don't know. I don't know how it goes. But, like, who knows boxing and says, hey, why don't you, like HBO used to do it, say, hey, listen, here's a list of opponents for your guy. If you don't fight one, you're going to fight one of these guys, and we're not going to put it on TV. You can fight whoever you want, but we're not going to televise it unless it's one of these guys.
Yeah, I'm not. That's a good point, but I'm not so sure that Fox as is involved as HBO was. Maybe they should be.
Absolutely, they should be. But it's a great fight. It's one of the best fights of the year, I think. And it's one I can't wait for. I cannot believe they signed this contract. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful, man.
Yeah, I'm over the moon with this fight.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with this fight.
And the pay-per-view, that fight will be on pay-per-view. We don't know I don't know how much it's going to be, put it that way. But based on the other pay-per-views, it's going to be about $70-$80, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. $70-$80.
I mean, it is what it is. That's what it's going to be, but... You know, and my guess is they probably won't have a great undercard, but I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully it does. Let's talk about – so we're going from one pay-per-view, okay, one pay-per-view that we're going to buy, the Porter-Crawford fight, to Lopez and Cambosos. So originally this fight, which is going to be held on a Monday, by the way, Monday, all right, originally we heard the fight was going to be $19.99, which was reasonable. All right, I don't know if I would have bought it at $19.99, to be honest with you, because the undercard was such garbage. But $19.99, yeah, I probably would have. I probably would have bought it for $19.99. They changed the price now to $49.99.
Very sad.
Is this a terrible move or what?
Well, it's a bad move, but I have another question. Will TSM what? Ever go back to Triller again? Will we ever do business with Triller again after this? Triller has, I guess, so someone over there resigned too, I think. The guy that was in charge of boxing, he resigned, right?
Why not?
So will anyone ever do business? Will there ever be a high-profile fight done at Triller ever again?
Okay, so they bid on the fight.
Yeah.
From what I understand, he was supposed to get $3 million.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
If he gets his $3 million, who cares? I mean, why wouldn't you do business with Triller? If they honor the contract and he gets the $3 million, he's the one that screwed up. I mean, he's the one. I mean, let's be real here. There's a lot of fault there. But he's the one that screwed up, didn't get the shot, got sick. You know, I mean, and if he still gets paid $3 million for his fight, then what's he got to complain about?
I guess the way even before the coronavirus situation took place and happened, they were still dicking him around with the date changes. You know,
but that was on him, though. That was his fault.
No, I'm talking about prior to COVID, they kept changing the dates.
They did.
They kept screwing up. Like, I guess my whole take on it is we can't absolve him of any blame. I'm with you 110% on that. But they've been a fuck show ever since they've entered the sport of boxing, Triller. There's been so much craziness coming out of Triller since they've entered the world of boxing about them not paying people. Mike Tyson says he'll never do business with them again. Roy Jones was complaining that he never got paid. Other people were complaining about pay, and, you know, Frank Mir was complaining about the professionalism of how they do the show. And
I wasn't a big fan of their show.
And then Jake Paul did one show with them and then goes right to Showtime. Like, if they were so good at what they did, then why is so many people leaving
after working with them with the bad taste in their mouth? That's what you have to ask yourself.
I agree.
And to your point, Teofimo Lopez has to be seeing all this, but he still jumped in bed with them. And I guess your rebuttal to that is going to be because of the money. Hopefully, let's see if he actually gets all that money or if there's an issue with him getting paid too, like there were with other people. So let's see.
Well, that's the thing too. You got to wonder about that, you know?
Yeah.
HLD says Triller may have ruined an opportunity to make a serious mark in pro boxing with Golden.
Sure.
However, with Golden Boy Promotion might be signing with them. Listen,
sure.
That's a good point too.
That's a great point. If you're going to be judged on what you bring to the table and what you've done, and if you've shown that you're not able to, you know, handle the sport of boxing and promote it the way it should be, then people are going to see that and they're going to lose confidence in working with you.
Right.
It's just that simple.
It's a tough one, man. You only get one chance to make a first impression, you know,
yeah.
and I wasn't a big fan of that whole Triller thing where they had the concerts in between and there was all the weed and everything like that. I'm not a big fan of that kind of stuff getting mixed in,
yeah,
and everything like that. I'm just not, you know.
That was a circus.
It was. It really was, you know.
You could tell how uncomfortable Al Bernstein looked amidst all that, too.
He really did. Yeah, he really did, you know.
He stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. And you can't have a guy like Al Bernstein. You can't try to make it legitimate and make it a clown show at the same time.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
He's
you can't have Al Bernstein and Snoop Dogg on the same, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a very respectful and respected person in the sport of boxing. You can't subject him to that behavior.
Right. Speaking of Teofimo, he also said that he was going to move up in weight after the Gambosos fight. He also stated that Loma will not get a rematch. He says it doesn't make sense, and I got to be honest, I agree with him. I don't think a Lomachenko fight rematch makes sense at all.
Yeah.
You know?
No, they've been talking about moving up in weight for a long time now, and it's apparent that he probably is really struggling hard to make 135. So
yeah.
Why, you know, he's 23 years old, he's still growing, whatever, so why hurt your body trying to make 135 if you can get big fights up at 140.
And he's got big fights. He's got Josh Taylor at 140.
He'd be in a good situation up at 140. You know, so move up to 140.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the Lomachenko fight to me is dead. It's always been dead. Listen, he won that fight, and he won it pretty handily. You know what I mean?
So.
Again, we
I
could not
so.
Make a case for Lomachenko winning that fight. We couldn't even make a case for a draw.
I couldn't.
But we can make the case all day that Teofimo won that fight. So what? And I don't care how good Lomachenko looked in his last fight. Listen, you're still going to have to go and fight the same guy, which you had a bunch of trouble with. So it doesn't make sense to me. I know that Top Rank wanted that fight, but it doesn't make sense. Holyfield and Belfort. All right. This was, again, on Triller. And, again, this was supposed to be Lampley pulled out of this fight. Lampley was supposed to be their head announcer now.
Yeah.
And they're trying to put pieces in place, but he said he wasn't going to announce it. So he didn't. So he pulled out of there. More bad news for Triller anyway. That Belfort fight, Holyfield-Belfort, hit around 150,000 pay-per-view buys. Other sources are saying it didn't even hit that. So in case you're wondering, 150,000 is not good. Not good at all. That is a terrible number. That is a terrible number.
I bought it. Did you buy it?
No, I didn't buy it. No. My dad was asking me because I think he really wanted to see it, you know. But he was like, once he found out, all right, once he found out that it was on pay, he was like, you got to be kidding me. Really? I said, exactly, right? He said, right, you know. So we didn't end up buying it. But, yeah, that was a tough one. That was
And Mr. Lord is like me. He buys just about everything, but
he's got limits, you know.
He'd rather go out to dinner with that money.
That's right. This is really interesting. This is really something. And if he pulls this off, I mean, what do you say? I mean, this is incredible. This is an incredible story. Manny Pacquiao was just nominated by his party to run for the president of the Philippines.
Yeah.
So he is going to run whenever, and I don't know when. I imagine if he just got nominated, it's going to be fairly soon, probably in November or whatever. But he is going to run against Duarte over there, who's just like Donald Trump. I can't stand him either. I really hope, like heck, man, that he wins this and becomes the president. That would be amazing. I mean, it really would be amazing. Just,
what a story that would be.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, politics didn't come easy to him. You know, the first time he ran, he lost. You know, and it was just trouble for him. It was hard for him just to get in.
Yeah.
You know?
He won't give up.
No. Oh, it was. It really is. It's an amazing story. And you just kind of sit back like, wow. You know, he's got a real shot at this. You know,
yeah.
So we'll see.
That'll be something.
It really will. Judge Stephen Blay, who you probably don't know, but he was one of the judges in the Valdez-Concecal fight. And Stephen Blay issued a statement that basically said he messed up with the scoring. He had the fans, you know, he said he was kind of influenced by the crowd and everything like that. But at the end of the day, Beeb, he still had Valdez winning. So even though, you know, I respect the fact that he did this, but he doesn't know anybody anything. You know, it's a difficult – judging is a difficult job. And, you know, you could say a scorecard was out of whack, but at the end of the day, he still had Valdez winning. I had Valdez winning. All the other judges had him winning, you know. So, you know, I get it. I think – you know what I think? I think judging should take place off-site. I really do. I think it should take place off-site, maybe have them, you know, not necessarily at the corner, but have them with a monitor somewhere, no sound as they're watching the fight, and they can, you know, they can watch it that way. You know, obviously that presents other things. What happens if the feed goes out or something like that, then you got all that nonsense. But in a perfect world, to me, that's how it should be done. Because that way you're not being influenced by the fans or anybody else around you or anything like that. It's just, you know, so there you go. Dillian White has signed to fight Otto Wallin. Beeb, let me ask you a question. Is this a solid fight? I don't think it's that great of a fight. A lot of people love this fight.
I think Wallin can – now, this is where I see value. I think Wallin can outbox – I think Wallin can outbox White.
You think so?
Yeah.
You might be right.
Southpaw. Yeah.
You might be right. You might be right. I don't know. I didn't really care for the fight. And I'm why can't they give Dillian White a big fight? I don't understand. Well, Otto Wallin is not a big fight for him.
Well,
why can't they give him a big fight? Eddie Hearn gets everybody else big fights.
The WBC has got to make Dillian White the mandatory. He's just been in line.
But
through
the WBC.
Long.
But forget the WBC. Wilder's tied up right now with Fury. That fight's not gonna happen. I get that. Why can't you get him a big fight? Why can't you get him an Andy Ruiz? Why can't you get him a big fight?
Oh, okay. That's
you know what
question.
I mean? Because he's not going to get a title shot. We all get that. He's not getting that. High and Low Sports Zentrum says, boxing reporters are at ringside. Thank you so much, by the way. Yes and no. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. It just depends. Typically, the judges sit around the ring. Boxing reporters sometimes... Typically at fights, they'll put them ringside, but sometimes they're not at ringside. Sometimes the crowd is at ringside and the boxing reporters are on the floor, but in the back or in the press boxes and stuff like that. I know like that's big in like Toledo. In Cleveland, they did the same thing with the Jake Paul fight. In Toledo, they did the same thing where the reporters are in the back, the crowd is in the front, or the reporters. I was lucky enough to sit in the press box and catch everything. But that's kind of what they do. All right. Is Jason still on the line? Yes, he is. Let's hear from him. Let's hear what magic he has to bestow upon us today. Jason, you're live. He's not going to answer now. All the crying this
right
moron
here, man,
did.
I'm right here. Hello?
Well, hurry up.
Hello?
Well, what do you think this is? What do you think? We
I
wait
was on
for
mute,
you?
Man. You're trying to censor me.
All the crying that this moron did,
I forgot
that we don't
I
pick up the
mute.
Phone,
you're trying to
Luna's
censor me.
Ignoring
why,
me,
why are you hanging up on
blah,
me?
Blah,
like fucking,
blah, blah.
Trying to be like Fox News? Like, you're not
going
to let the Democrats speak now and shit? Come on. You can't be like Fox News, man. Let me
speak.
Like, why are you being so sensitive? I mean, just because I'm going to disagree with you, you don't have to, like, preempt me.
All
like,
right, go ahead, John Lennon.
All right. So
ahead,
what I was saying, everybody was saying I'm surprised about Porter taking the Crawford fight. Porter's been begging for that fight for like 2 years. Porter went to Bob Arum's office like 6 months ago. Bob Arum said, I'm only going to give you $1 million. That's all you're worth. You guys forgot that? There was an article about that. And now he's paying him $4 million. So who was lowballing who? I mean, how can you guys even say this kind of clown shit and act like you guys are boxing experts, man? I mean, the motherfucker bottom
line
says,
well, look, everybody calls everybody out. A lot of people call a lot of people out, but the bottom line speaks the loudest. You got to
sign
the fight.
So Bob Arum offered him $1 million 6 months ago, and he's blowballing the fight. Why would Porter take $1 million?
Come on.
He made $1.5 million for Formella.
He made $1.5
million for
Formella on TV.
Jason,
call everybody.
The reason why I didn't think the fight was going to happen was because I did not think that Porter was going to get paid what he should have got paid. And
yeah, I know.
He was
but let me
walk
finish.
Away.
I know. Let me finish. But
that's my stance on the whole thing.
He doesn't want to hear that, Beep, because he doesn't want to hear that.
No, you're right. You're right, Beep. I agree with that. But I didn't think it was going to happen because when has Bob Arum ever made a fucking big fight for Crawford in his fucking life? Crawford's been over there 10 years. Biggest fight he made for him was what? Gamboa. I think that was probably the best night of Crawford's life. I don't think he's ever had an exciting
fight. I know. He got him a unification fight.
Against who? Against the African cab
doesn't
driver?
Doesn't matter. Those are unification. Belts matter,
son. African cab driver who doesn't even box anymore? So you like the fake
that guy was good.
I'm
sure you could have ran through
him.
I'm sure you could have ran through him. But, I mean, you're a special talent.
Dude, Ndongo's getting ran through by fucking journeyman. Like, he doesn't even box anymore. What are you talking about? You're not making any sense. That guy's not even the sport anymore. That's how bad he was.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he wasn't good at one time. Riddick Bowe was going to fight Lamar Odom and get smashed. Does that mean Riddick Bowe sucks too?
Did you just compare Riddick Bowe to fucking Ndongo? Are you retarded or what? Like, have you lost all your brain
cells? Yeah, I did.
I know you got... Come on, man. Come on. Let's be realistic, okay? Don't compare a fucking all-time great to fucking Ndongo. Let's be realistic. All right. I was going to also say, Porter is the one who initiated this fight. Then when Bob Arum lowballed him, he went to the WBA and requested a mandatory spot. And that's why Al Heyman made this deal. He made sure his guy got $4 million, of which 10% goes to Al. It's win-win for them, both of them. He gets $400K. Porter gets his whatever, $3.5 million. It's a win-win for everybody, right? Why wouldn't Al went one to this fight? Al sent Jacobs to HBO to fight fucking GDG. That fucking moron was Robbie. Oh, I'm surprised Al Heyman made that fight. Al Heyman's been sending his fighters across the street for fucking 10 years. You have to be a fucking retard to think Al Heyman doesn't want to make money. Like, what kind of fucking planet do these idiots live on? This is why people like Robbie are broke and why Al Heyman has two fucking TV deals, you know? And you got fucking guys like Coppinger last week saying, oh, my God, Barack Obama is calling the Triller fight. Are we going to expose this fucking pathological liar for making shit up like this? He just came out of nowhere and said, oh, my, could you even imagine Barack Obama associating himself with a fucking disaster like Triller? He would not go fucking 10 feet near that fucking shithole. And this guy is, like,
Triller was trying. Listen, Triller was trying. They got Trump, and then for the next fight, they were going to try to get Obama. That's what they were going to try to do.
They were going to call this fucking PR person and act like they want
to
try.
Obama's yeah, that's,
not going
to that's
do a shit
trying
show like
to
that,
get him.
You know?
That's trying to get him, right?
Yeah, but that's not. But they
so if you call a PR
person
to ask for somebody, that's trying to get him, right?
Coppinger said it was final. He's doing it. That's what he said.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
Coppinger's not wrong, you know what I mean? Coppinger's never wrong, right?
He's a pathological liar. I mean, we can't be
he's got sources.
That seriously. No, he has no sources.
He got sources,
He has no sources, dude. And you're talking about Eddie Hearn making big fights. Eddie Hearn hasn't been doing shit. Eddie Hearn is fucking giving Mikey Garcia a fight in fucking Fresno at some softball stadium against some fucking cab driver. What big fight is he making? What the fuck?
Yeah, that fight does
progress.
Suck. Yeah, he's only making Usyk and AJ. That's not a big fight. That's not that big
of
a fight.
Yeah, after 2 years of AJ doing nothing. After 2 years of AJ getting knocked out by Andy and doing Poulet fight, yeah, finally he made a fucking decent fight against the fucking cruiserweight.
Yeah, he got knocked out by
Ruiz,
but then he came back and beat Ruiz, right?
Against the cruiserweight who looked like shit against fucking Chisora, right? Let's not forget that. He looked like shit against Chisora. He was getting smacked around by Chisora, a fucking 40-year-old washed-up Chisora. Look at his face after
that fight. Did you see Mike Montero fight? Did you see the Mike Montero fight?
He was roided up. I saw that guy was roided up for sure.
He was roided up.
So afraid.
He was roided up.
He's so intimidated. He's so intimidated by Montero. You have to call him roided up.
I had to call
so
the
fucking
So
are you
going to
fight? Are you
going to
box Montero now? You going to box Montero now?
I'm just kidding, man. But dude, there's a fight on tonight on Fox Sports 1 at 8 o'clock. Friend of the show, Omar Juarez, is fighting in the co-main. So everybody tune in for that. And the main event is did you guys know that?
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. Barrientos is on there. DJ Zamora is on there. Yeah, whole bunch of people.
Three fights.
At 10 o'clock, Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, so PBC had a card last night and Sunday. So that's two cards in a row, you know? People don't really talk about that. They need to – everybody should tune in.
We just talked about it.
Rehab. Oscar De La Hoya, is
he still in rehab? He's not in rehab.
That's what Nacho said.
He's in the hospital.
He's
getting over COVID.
Nacho said in the chat that Oscar's in rehab. That's what Nacho said.
Oh, again?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man. That guy, I mean, that's his only – that's like his second home, isn't it? Like, Triller and Rehab is like the same shit. Triller's like a fucking shit show.
Second home?
I mean,
remember when he showed up on Triller all messed up? He was coked up or drunk or something like that? And he was talking.
I mean,
he was like, man, he's
was
jacked,
prelude.
Son.
I mean, you know. And that these guys are putting that fucking drunk in a fight. Like, he's like 50. Dude, Vitor would have fucked Oscar up. Like, I have no fucking doubt about that. Oscar doesn't fucking train anymore. He's partying out there, you know? Vitor, he's a hungry dude.
Can you imagine?
And the UF,
did you imagine him with Belfort if he went through with that Belfort fight? He would have got toasted.
Why don't they make Belfort versus Silva, man? I don't want to watch him fight fucking Jake Paul. Why don't they make Belfort Silva? That's a good fight, right?
I think Belfort's he already beat Vitor in the UFC. I'd like to see Jake Paul and Silva. That's the fight to make.
Jake Paul and Tommy Fury. Tommy Fury is horrible. Did you guys see his last fight? That guy's horrible.
Like, yeah, that's not going to be good.
Didn't his punches look worse than Jake Paul's? Jake Paul's punches look sharper than Tommy Fury's. How is that even possible?
Kind of, but I still favor Fury in that fight. I still got to favor Fury in that fight. Beeb, who do you favor in that fight?
I'd probably favor Fury, but it's tough. It's a close fight.
Close fight, yeah.
Did you guys see all the fights that are coming up in September? Did you guys see all the fights that are coming up in September? The four men.
Yeah, I mean, Boxing is closing the year strong, man. It's a good finish.
Listen, November 6th, Benavidez was category November 13th, Bud Porter November 20th, Fulton Figueroa unification for all the fucking belts except one against that guy. So it's like three belts, I guess.
November 27th. What about Herring?
Herring and Stevenson.
Herring and
what
Stevenson.
What date is that,
too, bro?
What date is that? This is November. I'm talking about November.
That's
October.
That's
right.
That's in October, yeah. That's in October,
yeah,
I think.
So November. And the only thing in common with all these four fights is that PBC tried to make these. Bob Arum did not want Wilder versus Fury 3 either. PBC forced that fight. That's why we're getting that fight. Let's remember that. And Porter and Crawford, PBC and Porter forced that fucking fight, not fucking Bob and Bud. Last 2 years ago, there's videos of Bud and fucking BoMac saying, Porter has no belt. Why should we fight that guy? We don't want to fight him. There's multiple videos of these guys saying that shit. And this guy is going to be the best opponent of Crawford's fucking life, you know? Like, he doesn't get the respect. People are saying, you guys are saying I'm surprised he took the fight? You guys should be surprised Crawford took that fucking fight after he got dropped by fucking Aegis, green bean machine. What the fuck is Aegis, dude? He's nothing. What, you know? He dropped Crawford. Crawford was wobbly. Gamboa had fucking Crawford doing the stanky leg.
Who are you taking in that fight? Who are you taking in that fight? Who are you taking in the fight?
It's going to be a close fight. I hope Crawford.
Who are you taking in the fight?
Sure. All right, I'll take Porter.
Who are you taking in the fight?
Porter
you,
by...
You taking Porter?
Porter by split.
Let's bet on it. Let's bet on it.
You want to bet?
No,
I don't want to do a pie bet. I don't do
bet on it, son.
No, I'm good.
You're such a little weenie, son.
Maybe we can do
you're such a little weenie. You talk all this trash, and when you put it down, you don't even believe what you're saying, son.
I mean, like, you're in Ohio. Dude, you're in, like, the sticks in Ohio. I mean,
what are you dating?
Here,
you want to buy me a drink? What are you talking about?
Yeah, man,
are you trying to loosen me up or something? Don't buy him a drink. What's the matter with you, son?
Yeah, if I was in a fight, I'll buy you a drink. I'm not doing a money.
What's the matter with you, son?
I'm on Tinder
or something.
Because I don't trust you.
You're on Tinder or something, boy.
You're not going to pay me. You're not going to pay me if you lose.
I'm not paying. I'm talking about, like, a pie bet or something like that.
No, I don't want to do a pie bet.
You got to get on camera. Smash it in your face. Your boy Chandler M. Your boy Chandler M's taking it. Your boy Chandler M's going to take a pie in the face. Chandler M.
Dude, I heard that Montero fight was kind of fixed. I heard you kind of, I don't know, I heard there was a lot of shitty shit.
Yeah,
it was kind of fucking hand wrap. I heard the hand wrap. I heard the hand wrap for shitty. I heard the hand wrap. Dude, I heard the hand wrap was shitty. I heard the hand wrap was shitty for sure. I'm hearing the hand wrap for Shady. That's where my sources are coming from.
You hate on Montero, son.
And I heard,
jealous of
dude. Let me just say. And I heard the whole arena was fucking empty. It was comped as fuck. Like it was like 10 people. Like you know, they had to force people to go in with free tickets.
No, it was a good crowd. It was a good crowd.
Nah, I heard it was pretty empty.
Was
that's
a good
what
crowd
my sources
there.
Are telling. My sources are telling me it was an empty crowd, dude. Come on. You know, that's
your
what my
sources
are telling. I've been living in Atlanta longer than Montero. I've been living.
Trust me, your sources are wrong.
I've been living in Atlanta way longer than Montero. All right, guys. Tune into Fox.
All right, Jason, we're going to get running.
8 p.m. Tune into PBC at 8 p.m. Fox Sports 1. Thank you, Ali.
like he's here, right?
Are you getting paid to promote them? Jesus Christ.
Chandler M. said, I'm going to be covered in pies. They're going to call me Sleepy Eric. Nope, I don't think so, son. You're going to take that first pie. I think we got a couple. I think me and Chandler got a couple of bets, but I can't even remember what they are. I know that I took Tio. He took Camboso. So that's going to be the first chink in his armor right there. He's going to take a pie off the dome for that one, son. There you go. Jason versus Boxing MD.
Right.
Oh, boy. It never ends, does it, Beeb?
Never.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will catch you next week.
Before we go, I just want to shout out the roundtable.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have the roundtable here on Ringside Reporter this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be hosting it. Eric's going to join us. Maestro, G-Funky, and B-Style, we're going to try to get some more guys on as well. So make sure you come back here on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern time to check out the roundtable here on Ringside Report.
There you go. Love it. All right, guys.